Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Donegal 10T project has received Cabinet approval to move to the planning stage. A meeting took place yesterday between public representatives, representatives from the Fáin Health Centre Committee and the HSC. A raid took place in Letterkenny this morning, the weight nature of which remains to be unknown. And a Donegal deputy has hit out at government after it's been revealed that advice from the Attorney General, which would have seen banks contributing to the defective concrete block grant scheme, ignored. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will also have all the latest in sport. That'll be up at around a quarter past five. First in news, the Donegal 10T project has received Cabinet approval to move to the planning stage. When complete, the works hope to address the critical transport deficiencies in the county. Routes included are the Twin Towns Bypass, Letterkenny to Manor Cunningham and Manor Cunningham to Lifford, linking the A5 in Strabane. Minister Charlie McConnellogue welcomed the news today and he hopes that the planning stage will progress efficiently.
It's one of the most significant infrastructure projects that the Cabinet have decided on over the last couple of years. And I've been glad to work with Donegal County Council and Transport Infrastructure Ireland and indeed Minister Ryan in the Department of Transport to get it to this stage and to get this approval. And now I hope and look forward to seeing it move to planning and hopefully it will have a good journey through planning.
And is there any obstacles that are expected or are we hoping that it will be plain sailing?
Well, you can never prejudge how a planning process will go, but I know Donegal County Council have put massive work into actually route selection, into all of the necessary studies and assessments and engineering projections required for a successful planning application and work closely with Transport Infrastructure Ireland and the department on that too. So I certainly hope it will progress smoothly, but it's really important. This Gate 1 approval is a massively important step to be taken by government and approval to get from Cabinet. It now means Donegal County Council has the green light to proceed to planning stage. And I know we'll all hope for the future of our own county that can progress in an efficient manner with an successful outcome. But it's really important now to be at the stage whereby we can move to planning and see these three projects really progress in terms of the work that's required to get them to the stage where they can start.
A meeting took place today between public representatives, representatives from the Fáin Health Centre Committee and the HSC. The HSC says the purpose of this meeting was to allay concerns in relation to the role of the public health nurse in the community. Eamon Torsney reports.
The HSC reiterated that there are no plans to remove the public health nurse from Fáin and that services will continue to be provided as defined by the needs of the patients in that area. The public health nurse service operates on a Monday to Friday basis from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and those wishing to make an appointment can leave a voicemail. Those left after 10:30 a.m. will be dealt with the following day. They added that given the domiciliary nature of the service, the nurse will not always be available at the centre. The statement also outlined that the Fáin active caseload currently consists of 20 clients compared to the typical 40-50 load for a public health nurse. Therefore, it was decided Fáin would be realigned with the Buncrana Lower and Muff West area. The new area is now being managed by two public health nurses and a community registered general nurse, and client files were sorted and sent to the nurses assigned to that area. The HSE will continue to liaise and engage locally with this group.
The HSE statement can be read in full on our website highlandradio.com. A raid took place in Letterkenny earlier today, the nature of which remains to be unknown. Gardaí have confirmed that investigations are ongoing following the search of the property in the Lower Main Street area, but no arrests have been made to date. A Donegal deputy has hit out at government after it's been revealed that advice from the Attorney General, which would have seen banks contributing to the defective concrete block grant scheme, ignored. It's as further correspondence from the Attorney General has emerged in the ditch. In the correspondence, Paul Gallagher suggested that as a matter of legal principle, it would not have been unfair to require that the banks make some contribution to the scheme in respect of the benefit they would receive. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin says the advice from the Attorney General is further evidence that the banks should be contributing. He says there are questions to be answered as to why the advice was not followed on this occasion.
Yeah, I have to say it is an extraordinary revelation by the ditch. Myself and Deputy Piers Doherty wrote to the Minister of Finance back in 2021 and we asked him to ensure that the banks made a contribution to the cost of the defective block scheme. You were looking at buildings and properties and homes that were only now worth the site valuation, a huge drop in value. They were having the full market value reinstated. There was a gain for hundreds of millions of euro for the banks. They were making no contribution. We wrote to the minister, and now we find out that the Attorney General actually advised the minister to do the same thing. So the serious questions now of Pascal Donoghue as to why he and the government didn't do it.
And obviously the question is, they followed so much of the Attorney General's advice but didn't follow this.
Yeah, here we are again where the advice in relation to a scheme that limited the number of homeowners that could avail of it, that limited the cost of state, that advice was taken. But when it came to the advice about asking the banks to pay their fair share, going after the quarry owners and pursuing them legally, that advice wasn't followed. So the serious questions, is it a case that the small guy was being squeezed by the government? When it came to the big guy, they hadn't the courage and the fortitude to challenge them. And that's the big issue, I think, in recent weeks in these revelations.
The Cabinet has signed off on a new funding plan for RTE to provide the broadcaster with €725 million over the next 3 years. It includes the collection of the TV licence fee, which remains at €160 per household, as well as direct exchequer funding. However, Media Minister Catherine Martin hasn't outlined how collection will be tightened, instead saying a working group would report on the issue within 3 months. The minister says while it wasn't her preferred model, this does provide certainty for the broadcaster.
When I was describing the worst of both worlds, the question that was directly asked to me at the time was a hybrid that was a tax plus a household tax plus exchequer funding, which I felt would not be palatable to the public. It's what I would have said at the time, but I wasn't describing this hybrid model. And you know, we all had different opinions. It's a coalition government, and everyone knew what my thoughts were on it too. But it's a coalition government that's come to agreement.
Inland Fisheries Ireland is clamping down on illegal fishing in Donegal. In recent days, 3 salmon nets were seized at Crana River near Buncrana. The nets measured at 20 metres, 17 metres, and 15 metres. Files are now being prepared by Inland Fisheries Ireland officers. A rural rail activist says the people of Donegal need to remain positive that train services will be restored to the county. Steve Bradley of Into the West spoke to Chris Ashmore on Highland Radio's Business Matters following the CSO's projection that the population of Ireland could reach 7 million by the year 2057. The All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review is expected to be published in full in the coming months. There is a fear, however, that if Donegal is excluded, the regional disparity gap between the northwest and the rest of the country will widen. Mr. Bradley says, though, a defeatist attitude is not the way to go.
It's really important that people in Donegal believe that we can get rail back, because there's absolutely no reason why we can't. And if we don't believe and we don't start arguing for this stuff, all we're going to do is make it less likely that it will come back. But if you look at the rest of the islands, comparable counties to Donegal, as I mentioned, whether it be a Kerry or a Mayo or a Galway, you know, they're getting good roads and good rail. At the moment, we've none of the latter and very little of the former in Donegal. So we absolutely need to get those back. Other places have shown it's possible. There is no reason why Donegal can't also get it back. And we will. I'm absolutely convinced we'll get rail back to at least Letterkenny. And then after a while, people will just sort of think, why didn't we have it like this before?
Glenties is just one of 3 local electoral areas in the country that had more deaths than births in 2021. A total of 397 deaths were recorded in Donegal in 2021, while there were 1,756 births. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The majority of people who died in Donegal in 2021 died as a result of diseases of the circulatory system. The second most common cause of death was tumours. According to CSO figures released today, of the 397 who passed away in the county in 2021, 253 were attributed to diseases of the circulatory system. The death rate in the county was highest in the Donegal local electorate area at 8.3 per 1,000 people. Letterkenny had the highest birth rate in the county at 12.2 per 1,000. 445 births were recorded in the town in 2021. A total of 1,756 births were recorded in Donegal that year, with Glenties the only LEA in the county recording more deaths than births. 235 people died in 2021, 198 births were recorded. The lowest number of both births and deaths were recorded in the Milford LEA.
A bill is to be drafted to allow women to delay maternity leave if they get a serious illness. It will amend the Maternity Protection Act 1994 to allow for a pause in maternity leave in the case of a very serious physical or mental illness for a period of up to 52 weeks. Minister for Children Roderick O'Gorman says it will allow mothers to focus on their treatment and retain precious time with their baby. Erica Tierney was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 30 weeks pregnant and has been campaigning for this change.
So I was diagnosed at about 30 weeks pregnant, had a mastectomy at 33 weeks pregnant, got induced early, and 3 weeks later I started chemotherapy for 5 months, followed by a month of radiotherapy. So all of that treatment window exactly overlapped with what should have been my maternity leave. You get assigned a social worker to help you navigate all of these lovely life admin things that come your way. And she looked into it with me and we discovered together that, oh no, you don't actually get to go on sick leave with this serious illness. You just have to take your maternity leave as normal. And so a week after I finished treatment, I got a lovely letter in the post from the Department of Social Welfare to say, okay, Erica, your maternity leave is up now. And it was just absolutely horrific. It's just a step still, a very, very welcome step. But the real impact will be when the Oireachtas actually passes the legislation.
The time's just gone 12 minutes past five here in Highland Radio. We're going to go to a short break and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's just coming up to 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Anna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with the first day of action at the 2024 Paris Olympics. Ireland's men's sevens rugby team have gotten their Olympic competition underway against South Africa in Group A. The Irish side lost by 10 points to 5, but are back in action against Japan at 8 o'clock. Starman Antoine Dupont couldn't prevent France being held to a 12-all draw with Fiji in Group C. And in Group B, there have been wins for Argentina and Australia over Kenya and Samoa, respectively. The men's Olympic football competition is also underway. In St Etienne, Argentina drew 2-2 with Morocco, and Uzbekistan lost 2-1 to Spain at the Parc des Princes. Meanwhile, Charlotte Dujardin has had her funding from UK Sport pulled after a video emerged appearing to show her whipping a horse 24 times in a minute. Britain's joint most decorated female Olympian has been provisionally suspended while the incident is being investigated and she has withdrawn from the Paris Games. Stefan Wensing is the lawyer representing the 19-year-old who filed the complaint.
According to my client, this happened 2.5 years ago. My client was a former student of Charlotte Dujardin, and Charlotte Dujardin explained to the student that she wanted to lift up the legs of the horse in the canter more, and then she used the whip as you saw on the footage.
On to Gaelic Games, Galway manager Padraig Joyce says this weekend's All-Ireland football final with Armagh will be good for the wider association. The two sides will lock horns in Croke Park on Sunday, with Galway bidding to win the Sam Maguire for the first time since 2001. Joyce says the novel final pairing is a positive thing for the GAA.
I think the GAA needed something like this. You know, it's definitely, you have Cork clear on Sunday, you know, and you have ourselves in Armagh, like, there are two teams who haven't, you know, haven't won anything in 20 years, so they're hungry supporters and hungry players, you know, hungry management, all that kind of stuff. So, and again, look, both teams are there on merit. They're the two best teams left in it at the minute. So, yeah, it's going to be a cracking final. Like, there's no doubt about that, but unfortunately, it'll have to be a loser, but hopefully it's not us.
In soccer, Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers says he's excited for the campaign ahead after making a strong start to pre-season. A 4-3 win against Premier League champions Manchester City made it 8 goals in 2 games on their tour of the USA. Rodgers feels the Scottish Premiership title holders have picked up from where they left off.
It's a continuation really from the last few months of the season. I think that we've still got lots of players to, you know, a number of our top players to come back, like City, and we hopefully then also add them to the squad.
Moving on to golf, the government has agreed to explore a bid to host both the Open Championship and the Women's Open at Portmarnock Golf Club. Neither tournament has ever been held in the Republic of Ireland. Royal Portrush was the venue for Shane Lowry's Open Championship victory in 2019, and the Antrim course will host again next year. Portmarnock only voted to admit women as members there 3 years ago. And finally, in horse racing, two Donegal jockeys are in action today. Oisín Oir has two races left at Catterick, while Luke McAteer will go off in the 5:50 and 6:20 in Naas. That's all your sport for today, Donna Marie. We're back with more tomorrow morning. Have a very good evening.
Thanks, Mark. A Tearman man who's put his name forward for nomination to contest the general election for Fianna Fáil believes there needs to be a refocus on economic growth in Donegal. Ben Harkin, along with Minister Charlie McConnellogue, former junior minister and MEP Patrick O'Gallagher, Senator Niall Blaney and councillors Donald Mandy Kelly and Micheál Nochtin have all added their names to the ticket ahead of the party selection convention in the coming weeks. Mr Harkin says the county has been lagging behind for too long.
Energy is something that I've been working on and thinking on for a very long time. Energy is something that's very important in Donegal. We're one of the top producers of wind energy in the country. But we actually lost about 20% of our wind energy that we produced last year because we don't have the infrastructure to move it and store it. So, you know, we're wasting cheap electricity while businesses and families are crippled with energy costs. And that's something that I feel very passionate about. I think that we need to get housing built in Donegal. We need to get infrastructure built to connect Donegal. I think that Donegal has received a massive amount of investment. It's grown massively in the last few years. And I think that it's still lagging behind in a couple of them, the key economic metrics that we look at. And I think it's time for maybe a refocus on economic growth in the county to take it up to where it should be. What I'm interested in is putting forward the policies that I want for Donegal. And I'm talking about these things, you know, my energy policies. I want to talk about kickstarting economic growth and getting businesses built in Donegal. And then it's up to people to decide. And I think that a problem that Donegal can have, and this is among all parties, is that we can focus a little bit too much on the local issues. I want to talk about the bigger issues that are facing Donegal this year. This, you know, the fact that we are lagging behind. And then it's up to them, the people within the party, to decide after that there when we have a selection convention in the next couple of weeks.
The failure of digital systems, data breaches and fraud remain threats for countries going completely cashless. A new access to cash law will guarantee the continued access to cash at ATMs across Ireland and avoid the risk of financial exclusion, especially for older people. Figures from an Oireachtas report show card transactions amounted to over €90 billion last year, compared to cash withdrawals of €13 billion. CEO of cybersecurity firm SmartTech 24/7, Raluca Sanchetto, says a single point failure in digital payment systems can cause a huge disruption.
We've seen numerous examples where payment systems haven't been available even last week because of the CrowdStrike failure. Even in the case of data breaches, point of sale terminals may not be available, which means an entire supermarket or chain of supermarkets is essentially down, and you can't scan anything and you can't pay for anything.
Former Clare All-Ireland winning hurler Niall Gilligan allegedly hit a 12-year-old boy repeatedly with a stick. Ennis District Court was told today that one of the injuries the boys was treated for was a fractured left hand. Aidan Delaney has this report.
47-year-old Niall Gilligan of Rossrow, Six Mile Bridge, will face trial at the Circuit Court over the alleged assault after the District Court judge refused jurisdiction after hearing an outline of the state's case. A solicitor for Mr Gilligan said the sequence of events set out by the state is not accepted by his client. He's charged with assault causing harm at the Jamaica Inn Hostel, Mount Ivers Road, Six Mile Bridge, on October 5th, 2023. The 47-year-old is also accused of producing a wooden stick during the course of a dispute. Outlining background to the charges, the state solicitors said the alleged injured party, who was 12 at the time, was on a disused property owned by the accused. It's alleged Mr Gilligan confronted the boys and they attempted to flee. The injured boy is said to have slipped, and it'll be alleged Niall Gilligan hit him several times while the boy was on the ground. The judge further remanded Mr Gilligan on bail to reappear before the court on the 18th of September for a book of evidence to be served.
Some homes and businesses in parts of Letterkenny have been without water for 5 days. An additional 100 social houses are planned for the Ballymacool area. However, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly has warned that the water infrastructure in the area must be upgraded prior to the construction commencing. Bomney, Tullygay, Newmills and surrounding areas have been plagued by water outages over the past number of years, and Councillor Kelly says adding more properties to the network would only exacerbate the issue.
So the first phase of accessible 100 houses at Ballymacool, with the talk about them be starting now and exceeding for 2026. But, you know, what I brought to the attention of Donegal County Council is I asked that what consultation it had with Irish Water in regards to the upgrade of the infrastructure there in that area. Because, you know, I'm all for building houses, Donna Marie, as you know, and the public knows as well. But the one thing is for sure, I feel before there's any houses built in Ballymacool that it's vitally important that the infrastructure is put in place. And we see there in Bomney, Newmills, Tullygay and the surrounding areas there, over the last number of years now, they've been suffering with water outages. You know, and it's totally unacceptable. Bomney there at the minute and Tullygay have been out of water since last Friday and still out of water today as we speak. You know, and this is totally unacceptable. You have families that can't get washing done. They can't even get their children washed. You know, we're in 2024, and it's ridiculous. And I've called today at Donegal County Council that they have a deep conversation with Ashcairn to make sure that before any houses are built in Ballymacool, that they ensure that infrastructure is in place, because there's no point building houses on the same water, me and Donna Marie, because you're only adding to the problem.
Having a look now to weather, generally cloudy with a few patches of rain or drizzle this evening, mild and humid with lowest temperatures of 12 to 15 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, the Donegal 10T project has received cabinet approval to move to the planning stage. When complete, the works hope to address critical transport deficiencies in the county. A meeting took place today between public representatives, representatives from the Fawn Health Centre Committee and the HSC. The HSC says the purpose of this meeting was to allay concerns in relation to the role of the public health nurse in the community. A raid took place in Letterkenny this morning, the nature of which remains to be unknown. Gardaí have confirmed that investigations are ongoing following the search of the property on Lower Main Street. And finally, a Donegal deputy has hit out at government after it's been revealed that advice from the Attorney General, which would have seen banks contributing to the defective concrete block grant scheme, ignored. That's all for now. We'll be back with headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, July 24th. The death has taken place of Peter Harrell, Tull Naree, Carndonagh. Remains are en route from Kelly's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10 to Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Carndonagh Parish, Derry Diocese, Ireland. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the dialysis unit, Letterkenny, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. The sudden death has taken place of Ellen O'Donnell, Ní Hegarty, 8 Ballyat na Carriga, Buncrana, and formerly of Chris Lamore, Burnfoot. Ellen's remains are reposing at her late residence. House strictly private at the request of the deceased to family only. Funeral remains leaving Ellen's home tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 a.m. Mass and interment to the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Richmond ICU, Beaumont Hospital, Dublin, care of any family member or Porter funeral directors. The death has occurred of Michael McGonigal, Sheskinarone, Dunloe. Michael's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Columba's Church Acres, with interment afterwards in Belcridge Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.